We're at the anti-imperialist conference for democracy and solidarity in Havana, Cuba, and I am speaking with Jammu Dillahunt of Black Workers for Justice in the United States, and he's going to be talking with us for a few minutes. And so, Jammu, would you be able to tell our listeners about Black Workers for Justice?
Sure. Yeah, the Black Workers for Justice is a North Carolina-based Black Workers organization founded in 1982 to give Black workers in the South a voice in the overall Black freedom struggle. We work with workers wanting to organize in plants, in the public sector. We deal with community issues, police brutality, Black political power, those kinds of things that advance the movement for Black freedom in the South. And so part of our work, in addition to the local community stuff, is a rigorous internationalism, which is why we're glad to be here in Cuba. But over the years, our work has included anti-apartheid work, travel to West Africa to support movements there, to Colombia and Venezuela, and all the time Cuba.
Let me ask you a political question. In observing the political processes of Latin America and, in general, the Third World, where they had triumphant revolutions, as, of course, in Cuba, I noticed that they have developed, as that process was unfolding, they had a strategy for taking political power away from those that were abusing the authority that the nation had given them. And I remember when I was young in the 60s, we used to say, power to the people, which is, in a slogan, the same concept, you know, that the people really need to take power. And so my question is, to what extent does the Black Workers for Justice address that question and think about that question? To what extent, what are possibilities for the people of the United States to take power from politicians who are representing the interests of the power elite?
Well, I mean, for us, as a local organization in North Carolina with some work within the Southern region, we're focusing on those kind of local struggles. But we're clear that we need to be part of a broader united front, a united front within the Black movement, but also the broader united front, which is now being roughly defined as a united front against fascism. People have different ways of characterizing it or whatever, but in the main, what it means is resisting the right-wing takeover of the government, the white supremacist policies that are affecting our people all over the country, and, you know, efforts to stop that. But we also understand that we need power to actually do that. And so working on a local level, that's a challenge in counties and cities to actually gain some control there, to be able to develop policies on that level. Also on the state level as well. We argue that within the United States, under a kind of neo-Confederate configuration that we see, that the right wing has expressed some of its greatest power through state legislatures. And so it's there that we need to engage in some struggle as well. So it's defensive in the main, but it's also an eye towards changing the balance of power as we move forward. And in the current moment, it's a matter of life and death.
Yes. One of the things that occurs to me as you respond is that it would be possible under that formula to you want to rescue the nation from the neo-fascists, but ultimately that would involve establishing the liberals that represents another form of representing the bourgeoisie, a softer, gentler form, much better for those of us that are victims of the various things that they do. But nonetheless, it's the power is still in their hands. And is there any, and I'm just speaking at the, I realize all of the practical difficulties, but is there reflection given to the question, how could the people take power from the hands, not only from the neo-fascists, but from the liberals that pretend to defend the interests of the people when they're in fact defending the interests of the elite?
Well, I think that question is on the table now in a really big way as we look into the 2020 elections in the United States. And the contention within the Democratic Party over their policies and the struggle against the liberal establishment and some of the more progressive elements. Not everyone in the social movements and the left in the U.S. Is engaged directly in that struggle. But we're developing a poll outside of that to show precisely what you said, that we need to shift the power from the ruling class to the working class. And so it's a matter of process, you know, breaking with the Democratic Party and establishing a real mechanism, an instrument for power. But at the same time, realizing that there's a need to dump Trump, as they they say. That's so working on both levels.
Right.
Some sections of the movement are not engaged in the Democratic Party process at all. Others are. But I think as we move towards 2020, that you'll see some of that movement. The question of socialism in the U.S. now is being discussed and debated amongst people all over. In some of the local elections, we've got socialist candidates, even in the South, and in Raleigh, North Carolina. You know, they didn't win, but they were part of the process, part of the discussion and whatnot. So that's a sign of hope and whatnot. And it's a question of increasing the conversation and building, you know, more momentum.
Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. I hope you're enjoying Cuba thus far.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.